a big hiker. I was doing some hiking in Utah during a cross-country trip I was taking after breaking up with who I thought was going to be my fiancé. Long story short, I caught her messing around with one of my closest friends. Total betrayal on both sides. I was 31. Utah was actually one of the states I was most excited about passing through. There are some great forests out there that I think every hiker would dream of exploring. I had picked Uinta Wasatch Cache National Forest as my Utah destination because I had heard a lot of great things about it. One of its biggest upsides for me was that it had a lot of secluded areas that I could easily access. I prefer hiking alone, so bustling hiking trails swarming with people aren't really my thing. I picked an unnamed area of the forest and drove my car as far down this narrow access road as I could. I parked, stepped out of my car, and took in my surroundings. I geared up and checked my phone. No service, just the way I like it. I made a mental note of my starting point and began the trek. I know hiking alone in uncharted territory is dangerous, but I don't think I have as much fun following a designated route. I always download the digital map of whatever location I'm planning to explore. A lot of people don't realize that your phone's GPS still functions without service. I know what you're probably thinking, but no, I didn't get lost. I wish I could tell you that that's what the story's about. The reality of what happened to me is something I'm still trying to wrap my head around. My destination was a lookout point at the summit of the mountain, which was maybe 3 or 4 miles away. The terrain was pretty difficult, so I was only clearing about 1.5 miles an hour. About an hour into my hike, it began raining. Although it was light, I refused to continue. Hiking in the rain is a massive pet peeve of mine. Annoyed, I turned around and began retracing my steps. Eventually, I spotted my car in the distance, and I was relieved that this failed outing would soon be over. I reached my vehicle and was met with a horrifying sight. All 4 tires were slashed. I felt the fear start to set in. There wasn't a chance in the world that all 4 tires had been coincidentally punctured. This had been deliberate. I whipped my head around, scanning the forest in every direction. Nothing. I listened as carefully as I could, but anything I might have picked up on was drowned out by the patter of raindrops on leaves and brush. I weighed my options. Without service, I was basically screwed. I'd need to get service so I could call for assistance, but as far as I remembered, I had lost service over 20 miles down the access road. Walking back to civilization seemed like a grueling option. I needed to find high ground. Luckily, the destination I had originally sought out was just that. I had to chance it. I didn't feel safe walking 20 miles down the road where I'd basically be out in the open. Without another thought, I turned back towards the woods and began my route once again. I was about halfway to the summit when I picked up on a faint rustling coming from behind me, maybe 40 or so yards away. It would start and stop in tandem with my movements. I didn't want to turn and look. I just picked up the pace, knowing I was probably a faster hiker than whoever or whatever was stalking me. The sun was starting to go down, casting an eerie shadow over the forest. The rain was still falling, and I was starting to get nervous. After putting some distance between myself and whatever was stalking me, I cast an inconspicuous glance over my shoulder. I didn't see anything, but someone could have been easily hiding behind any of the countless trees in the forest. Finally, I reached the peak. By some miracle, there actually was service up there. I didn't waste a second, not even pausing to admire the view. I told the police exactly where my car was and explained what happened, including my suspicion that I was being stalked. I also told the operator that I had AAA. I hung up, relieved that someone knew where I was. There was still a glaring problem, though. I'd have to navigate back through the forest before it was fully dark while somehow avoiding whoever was stalking me. I couldn't just march in a straight line back through the forest. That was asking for trouble. I thought for a second, before concluding that I'd have to try to walk in a semicircle back to my car, hopefully avoiding any kind of trap someone had set. I walked parallel to the cliff for a while before entering the woods from a different angle. I hadn't bothered to analyze this area of the forest, though, so I pulled up the map on my phone and prayed my navigation skills wouldn't let me down. Things were going well for a while. I hadn't heard a single unusual sound behind me or in front of me. I might have spoken too soon, though, because not 30 seconds after having that thought, I heard a twig snap from my left. I turned to look but didn't see anything, and a few minutes later, I heard another sound, this time from directly behind me. My blood ran cold as it dawned on me. There were multiple people out there. I picked up the pace again, settling into a light jog. As if things weren't terrifying enough already, I stumbled upon something that brought my panic levels from a 5 to a 10. There was a makeshift campsite literally tucked away in the woods. There were 12 or so logs sitting in a circle around a campfire. Someone had been here recently. I jogged around it and continued on, casting glances behind me every so often. A few minutes later, I heard something from my right. This time, I turned quickly enough just to barely see someone's foot jump behind a tree. That was it for me. My light jog instantly turned into a full-on sprint through the woods. I didn't care how loud I was being. I needed to get out of that forest. As I ran, the sounds around me continued getting louder. It was clear that I was being chased. They weren't even trying to hide it anymore. I continued running, afraid to look behind me. At one point, I couldn't resist the urge anymore and shot a glance over my shoulder. I counted at least 6 people, all of whom were wearing white and charging toward me. I kept running, knowing my car wasn't far. The next few minutes were the most terrifying moments I've ever experienced in my life. Imagine being overwhelmed with exhaustion while the threat of death looms over you. I couldn't slow down. My life literally depended on it. Finally, I saw my car in the distance, and right behind it was a police officer. I reached his car and keeled over, almost throwing up before he even had a chance to speak. I turned around, and those people that had been chasing me were nowhere in sight. The cop told me that he had gone ahead and called AAA, which I was beyond thankful for. I gave him a full police report, and what he told me was chilling. Apparently, Utah houses the largest population of Mormons in the country, and it isn't uncommon to encounter woods folk in unmarked forests. The specific forest I was exploring actually had a very rich history, especially as it pertains to woods cults and religious groups. The cop told me that I had probably stumbled upon one such group, and that I was stupid to explore a random part of the woods. In all honesty, what that cop told me all those years ago was probably true. I still can't wrap my head around this, though. If they were mad that I was infringing on their land, why not just tell me that? I don't see why they'd feel the need to stalk and chase me through the woods, especially after slashing my tires. This experience is still something I think about all the time. I'm not going to call myself an expert hiker, but I've been avidly enjoying the activity for a few decades now. I've traversed all the major trails in America, and I've been to over 75% of this beautiful country's national parks. As such, I've had to find new ways to excite myself. I recently picked up a new hobby, scouring Google Maps for vast, unnamed forests and just exploring them. It's a little unconventional, but I think the added excitement is worth the risk of getting lost, or at least I did. I carry a pack of homemade route marking stickers that I periodically slap onto trees so I don't forget my way back. As I pass each one, I pull them off the trees so as not to leave any litter behind. I'm surprised more people haven't picked up on this trick. It makes getting lost in a forest nearly impossible. Anyway, there was a slightly more daunting task ahead of me this time around. I had decided to explore Dudley Town Forest in Connecticut, which I'm sure would give any normal person pause. If you don't know, the whole town has been abandoned since the 1800s, and there are all sorts of creepy accounts about strange things and stuff like that. You should do some research on the place if you're interested in that sort of thing. I'm not, though. I'm not superstitious, and I don't believe in the ghost stories. Technically, this forest is off-limits to the public, but that hasn't stopped me before. As I saw it, I was basically guaranteed to not encounter anyone in those woods, which is usually what I go for. I'm also from New England, so the drive actually wasn't so bad. I entered the woods around noon to ensure that the sun didn't go down before I finished hiking. My first impression of the woods was honestly pretty freaky. I had heard that it was dead silent in there, and I was surprised to discover that it actually was. You don't really notice or appreciate all the sounds in a forest until they aren't there anymore. Imagine closing your eyes in a silent room and only being able to hear your breathing. That's what it was like. To be completely honest, this silent phenomenon wasn't something foreign to me. I'd been in forests void of animals before. I kept walking, placing my stickers as I went, trying to shake the eerie feeling the forest was inducing. I kept thinking I would eventually stumble upon an animal or at least some indication that there was life in there, but I had no such luck. After a while, I was honestly hoping to encounter a person even. That's how unsettled I was. Pretty soon, though, the silence of the forest stopped bothering me so much. For the first time since I'd stepped foot in those woods, I was calm. The feeling didn't last long, though. Out of nowhere, I picked up on a sound that sent the uneasiness rushing back in. It was like a wailing kind of moaning sound, the kind of sound you might imagine a wounded animal making. That's the best way I can put it. I still have trouble describing it, even to this day. It was especially creepy since it was the only sound in the whole damn woods. I paused and listened, trying to figure out what it could be. I had never heard anything like it. There was a chance it could have been a whistling made by the wind, but there wasn't any wind to begin with, so that didn't make sense. I concluded that it was most likely a wounded animal, even though I knew it probably wasn't. I walked away from it until the sound faded away. You're probably wondering why I didn't just turn around and leave right there. I wish I had an answer to that question. I told myself that if one more creepy thing happens, that would be it for me. As I walked, I started thinking to myself, how would an animal even get wounded in a forest like this? Like, was there someone hunting in here? There's no way I could have missed a gunshot. Maybe the hunter had taken the shot before I was in earshot. Maybe he neglected to put the thing out of its misery. Would someone really do that, though? It was hard to imagine. All these thoughts and more were bouncing around in my head when I stumbled upon something. On the tree directly in front of me, there were honest-to-God carvings. I know it sounds cliche, but I'm being dead serious. The carvings weren't symbols, and they didn't look like letters either. Just random slashes and bits of missing tree bark. I started looking around and saw that several of the neighboring trees were covered in the same marks. That was it for me. I turned around without another thought and began walking back, unsticking my trail markers as I passed them. I'm a curious person by nature, and even I was thinking, screw this. I followed my trail markers for a while before seeing something in the distance I hadn't seen before. There was what looked like a bear's den up ahead, or at least a cave of some sort. I stopped walking, confused. I know myself. There was a 0% chance I would have overlooked something like a bear's den, and that's when it hit me. My trail markers should have been shoulder high, not waist high. My blood ran cold. I turned around and began sprinting back the way I had come, constantly looking over my shoulder. How could I have been so absent-minded? Someone had moved my stickers in an attempt to lure me into that cave. But how? Was it really possible that someone had been tracking me this entire time? I didn't have time to think all of it through. I was busy focusing on getting the hell out of that forest. The issue with that, though, was that I literally had no idea where I was going. Without those trail markers, I was as good as lost. I kept running, not even trying to be quiet. It would have been pointless anyway. The forest was dead silent, apart from the sounds I was making. I stopped to catch my breath and pulled out my phone, praying for signal. By some miracle, I did have a bar. I found my parked car's location on the map and figured out which direction I needed to go. It wasn't far. And just like that, the signal dropped. It didn't matter, though. I knew where I was going now. And that's when the wailing started up again, only this time it was twice as loud. I ran faster than I had ever run before, even though my most fit years were behind me. The sound seemed like it was coming from right behind me, but every time I turned to look, I couldn't see anything. After the worst 10 minutes of my life, I finally reached the edge of the forest and the wailing stopped abruptly. I jumped in my car and sped off before whatever had been chasing me had a chance to catch up. That day ruined hiking for me. Here's my rational explanation for what happened. Some hermit or woods freak lives in those woods and noticed me before I noticed him. He then, for whatever reason, tracked me and messed with my trail markers, hoping to lure me towards that cave. I'm assuming he had a whistle or something that made that wailing noise, which is why it stopped so abruptly once he realized he wasn't going to catch me. I know there are holes in this explanation, like how could someone blow through a whistle for that long while simultaneously running at full speed? I'm open to anybody suggesting explanations. Maybe there's a reason that forest is off limits to civilians. When I was younger, my childhood home was the most fitting for squad hangouts. There were a few reasons for this. My dad had a massive man cave in the basement with an almost unlimited supply of beer. Plus, my parents usually let us drink down there and left us alone for the most part. I lived on a pretty large plot of land, and my house bordered a decently sized woods. If you were to walk through the woods from my house, you would find yourself on a dirt road. On the other side of the road was the reservoir, a spot that has had my heart since I was a kid. I've cut countless holes in the reservoir fence, so many in fact that the Water Commission stopped repairing them. After all, it is illegal for any civilians to trespass on reservoir property. As a kid though, it was my sanctuary. I'd go there to smoke, to get away from my parents, to swim, to think. It truly was a beautiful place, and probably the only thing I miss about that era of my life. My friends and I were shooting a few rounds of pool in my basement with some obnoxious EDM music in the background, when my friend Chester had the brilliant idea of taking a hike through the woods to the reservoir. The boredom was beginning to kick in, so we all agreed. Plus, the sun hadn't gone down yet, so it wouldn't be a nightmare trying to navigate. There were five of us. Me, Chester, Rick, Jasper, and Hassan. I can't remember too many specifics, but I'm pretty sure Rick and Hassan snagged some beers for the journey. They were the drinkers of our friend group. I had already had a few drinks, so I didn't want to overdo it. The reservoir was huge, so even after crossing the fence, we still had some walking to do. It was honestly still a little muddy in the woods from the earlier rain, but we were already committed to this plan. There was a cliff on the near side that we usually chilled on, so that's where we went that night. After a while, though, we decided to keep walking and hang out on the far side of the reservoir. In order to get over there, we would have to walk along the near side to the end, where we could cut across to the other side. Then we'd be able to walk along the far side until we reached this really smooth section that we used to call the beach. After about 20 minutes of walking, we found ourselves on the far side of the reservoir, finally. It was then that stuff started getting weird. Hassan put his hand up and pointed into the distance. Remember, we were on the far side of the ovular-shaped reservoir, but we hadn't walked all the way down to the beach yet. Hassan was pointing to our right, where we realized that something was moving toward the reservoir on the same side that we were on, albeit much further down. The five of us quieted and kept watching as the dark figure slowly made its way towards the water. We were all kind of excited by this because it meant we might have some kind of encounter, which we usually welcomed. As the figure made its way towards the water and out of the woods, we realized that they were dragging something. The further they got, the more we could see. Eventually, we realized what was being dragged, a large black garbage bag that clearly had something relatively heavy inside of it on account of how slowly the person was moving. Now, I don't want to make any assumptions, but there have been a couple bodies found in that reservoir over the years. So in that moment, we quickly assumed the worst. We weren't smiling or even talking anymore, just staring quietly at the figure dragging what we guessed to be a body towards the water's edge. After reaching the water, he knelt down over the bag for a few minutes. We couldn't really tell exactly what he was doing from so far away. We figured that was a good time to get out of there, since he was distracted. Before we could leave, though, Chester spotted something else that stopped us in our tracks. Three more figures emerged from the woods, two dragging bags. The third figure was carrying a kayak over his head. I honestly started feeling sick. I lived only 10 minutes from one of the most crime-ridden towns in America, so if this was somehow gang-related, that would have made a lot of sense. The first man we noticed got into the kayak, while the other three helped load one of the bags onto his lap. He rowed out to the middle of the reservoir, and we watched as the garbage bag disappeared below the surface. He rowed back to the shore and repeated this process twice more. And then, like a scene from a movie, my phone rang. The annoying tune cut through the silence like a razor blade, and my nervous self couldn't mute it fast enough. The four men froze and turned to look in our direction, which is when we ran. And just like that, the sanctity of my backyard reservoir was gone forever. Rick shot a glance over his shoulder and yelled out that they were following us. It was the scariest moment of my life. Running in a forest is actually insanely difficult. Factor in the threat of death and it's twice as bad. We ran all the way back down the bank, cut across, and started making our way through the woods on the near side back to the hole in the fence. I don't know if it was the nerves or the alcohol or both, but to save my life, I couldn't remember where the damn hole was. I reached the fence first with my friends close behind, and they began panicking when they saw that I was tracing the fence aimlessly, searching frantically for a hole that could have been anywhere. We ran along the fence, and I was ready to give up, when Rick pointed ahead of us and yelled. It was just a few feet away, and we bounded for it. As I was helping Chester through, we heard the sound of a tree branch being stepped on not far behind us, and I knew they were closing in. The chase didn't end there. We ran through the woods all the way back to my backyard, and we were relieved to have made it. It was then that Hassan called the police. We told them what happened, and they said they'd send a squad car to my house immediately. I knew I was going to get heat for trespassing, but I didn't care at that point. My friends were relieved to be safe, but I wasn't as relaxed. The path from the reservoir to my house wasn't super far, and they could have easily followed the tracks we left on the trail. Eventually, the police arrived and listened to what we told them. The police searched my property for any signs that we were followed, and my stomach dropped when they actually found one. There was a set of muddy footprints that led to my backyard fence, which I told the police weren't ours. They asked if I was positive, and I told them I was. Why would I jump my own backyard fence? Luckily, the police didn't find anyone hiding on my property, so they left and told me they'd keep me updated about the reservoir situation. To my surprise, they actually did. After a few days, the police fished out 3 bodies from the reservoir. No surprise there, and it was a huge news story for a while. My parents and I were terrified for a long time, knowing that some criminals knew where we lived. For months afterwards, my mom swore she saw people in the woods at night, and even claimed to have seen a camera flash one night. This incident was actually one of the main reasons we moved out of that house. Fast forward to today, and as far as I know, the police were never able to find any sort of connection or make any arrests. The reason I'm writing about this now is because I recently stumbled upon a depressing news article about a teenager drowning in that reservoir, which brought all these memories back. That place is definitely cursed, and I still wonder about all the tragedies that might have happened there that no one knows about.